Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. The 40 Days for Life fall campaign to end abortion runs through November 3rd. I'm joined by Catherine Walker, one of the leaders of 40 Days for Life Aurora, and we're recording this interview outside Waterleaf, a pro-life pregnancy care center right across the street from the big Planned Parenthood abortion center in Aurora. Catherine, for those unfamiliar about 40 Days for Life, it's a non-confrontational prayer effort outside abortion centers. Tell us.
We are here to pray for sure. We are a peaceful prayer movement, and we always have been. And this is an international movement. Fortunately, out here in Aurora, we do have trained psychological counselors that are in motion in harmony with our prayer efforts, but that's not always the case in all vigils. Some vigils, they do both, and they're trained properly to do that.
And if you've never gotten involved in a pro-life cause, this is a good starting point.
Without question. I can speak to it personally. When I came out here for the first time, I knew very little about the pro-life movement. I came out here under an invite from a friend, and I saw what I saw, and I wanted to know more. And through my sourcing and searching for information, I found that this was really a good event to engage. And we have used this for people that come out here all the time, but most often they are coming through their churches who have taken the first step into the pro-life movement by getting involved in the prayer vigil.
It's not political, but it is running close to the election. So what do you say to those who would suggest, yeah, this is a political event?
You know, certainly, Monty, we hear that a lot, and it breaks my heart because it's the other side talking. It's a gospel issue. It's a moral issue. It should be coming from the pulpit forward, and at the same time, prayer certainly is part of God's plan. So we come out here in a peaceful way and pray for these men and women that are coming here under much distress, and we're praying for these image bearers that are at risk.
Image bearers that are at risk, and we know that a lot more of them are at risk since the fall of Roe versus Wade, at least from women who are traveling here from other states. It's got to be very concerning.
It is. I know we as pro-lifers, and I've been at this for many years, as many of the listeners that you have, we thought Roe v. Wade was going to change the landscape. Everything was going to change, but little did we find out that it's going to get harder for us, and it has in Illinois. The men and women that we see come out here are coming from all other states around us, not just here. This clinic happens to be the largest in the Midwest.
So this Planned Parenthood here, I don't even like to call it a clinic. I call it an abortion center. They're committing surgical abortions. Is that the main thrust of their business, or are they really into dispensing abortion pills now?
That's an excellent question. Things have changed dramatically over the course of the last couple of years. Yes, they're performing clinical abortions here. We see the loss of life up to 400 a month, but we know by numbers, and these are reliable numbers, that over 60% of abortions nowadays are chemical abortions. So it's getting a little bit harder to track, but yes, they are still coming for the dispensing of the chemical abortion as well, which is a two-pill process. So when they leave here, they've already taken the first pill, but then they're going home within the next 24 to 48 hours and taking the second pill, and they're instructed to abort their child in the toilet, which is now going into the water system.
That's just terrible.
It's hard to imagine.
Does Planned Parenthood make more money on a surgical abortion or a medication abortion?
You know, one would think, well, medication, it's no big deal. It's not going to cost me a lot. And that's what I hear the young people say. Well, that's not true. It is a big deal. And it does cost about the same, given the same cycle in the pregnancy.
And it's not pain-free. It's my understanding.
No, it's not.
Tell us.
If you take the time and go watch the movie Unplanned, you're going to see it for yourself. These girls go home and they are in a lot of pain. There's nothing pleasant about it. Generally, they're always alone. Sometimes because we have people coming from out of state, they're in a hotel room. So it's not like going home and just having a simple event. Many of the times they have to go to the hospital for assistance. So it is rather complicated, or can be.
Well, we know that our Democrat majority lawmakers repealed parental notice. So your daughter could be coming to Planned Parenthood here in Aurora or elsewhere in Illinois, getting these abortion pills, and you'll know nothing about it.
Absolutely. I think that for the vast majority of people that are passionate, maybe churchgoers, people that, you know, they know the moral high ground of what's going on. When you give this information that parental notice, for instance, is no longer required in the state of Illinois, they're like, what are you talking about? Do you realize that your child at any age can seek an abortion through somebody who's aiding her? Maybe it's a school nurse. I've not heard of that myself, but I wouldn't be surprised. But an adult in the family can usher that child into a Planned Parenthood or a clinic, and there's no questions asked. There's no parental notification that's required, and they can get their abortion.
And so the girl comes home, and she's not feeling well, and the parents don't know what's happening, and they're concerned, and it's bad on the life side, but it's also bad as far as parental rights.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that girl, you know, maybe she's a little bit older, and she really didn't think it through, and somebody escorted her in, and she didn't get a lot of information. She didn't know that there were other options, that were services out there, which our pregnancy resource centers are so eager to share. She's going to figure this out, and she's going to suffer for many, many years of post-abortion damage and destruction to not only her, but her future family. One day I was out here by myself, and I was a day captain during a vigil, and another gentleman came. So it was only the two of us, and I had never spoken to anybody out here. I was not a trained counselor, and a couple showed up, and there was nobody out here to talk to them. And God moved me forward, and I ended up talking to this couple, and all I said to them is, we're here for you, we care about you, and we're praying for you. And my eyes met her, and I said, you're scared, aren't you? And she said, yes. I said, you don't have to make a decision right now. There's a facility right down the road. Can we drive you there, which was a pregnancy resource center, and you can get more information and make a decision from there? And they said, yes. So that is why we are here. It's that simple. God does the heavy lifting.
You're saving one life at a time?
Absolutely, one life at a time. I don't come out to this huge clinic and say, God, help me stop abortion. That's God's job. I come out here and say, God, use me.
And he is.
And he does.
Wow. It's 40 Days for Life. It's a prayer effort. I think a lot of people say, well, that's all nice and good. But it seems like a lost cause on the spiritual side. People are disappointed. They're dismayed. They've lost hope. What do you say to that?
Certainly, I've had my moments doing this as long as I have. There's all these ups and downs. But I always say when I am feeling down the most, I'm doing the best work because the enemy's after me, and he's after me because I'm doing good things. So I tell people, do not be discouraged. Be hopeful because there are lives that are saved. We may not even know in our lifetime who was saved by the sheer fact that you're standing out in the street, because we know up to 75% of women turn from their appointments because people are outside a clinic peacefully praying. And this is documented by abortion workers. So never lose hope. And I'll tell you, you may not get the woman today, but that woman is going to leave with an abortion experience. And she may come across a woman down the road where she's working or wherever, and somebody befriends her, and they come up and say, I'm thinking about getting an abortion. I'm pregnant. And she says to her, honey, you don't want to do that. Because the day I went, there were people out there trying to talk to me and praying for me, and I only wish that I would have turned and responded. And with that conversation, that woman may have another moment to pause and think and change her mind. So God uses everything.
How have you grown spiritually as a result of your involvement with 40 Days for Life?
Well, it's really hard to measure because it's been bigger than I could ever have thought. My walk with the Lord is more deliberate. I have to trust in God every day. I can't do this alone. So I know many of people that I stand in the sidewalk out here, and myself included, we probably weren't as church-going or as seated in our faith. I have met a number of people who have grown spiritually, as myself too, by getting involved in this cause, because it's not easy.
It's not easy, but it's the right thing to do.
It's where God has called me. And I'll tell you, one morning I'm having my time with God, and he brought me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Talks about, go and comfort others as I have comforted you. And when that seeded in my heart that morning, and I've read that scripture numerous times, but God seeded it that morning. He showed me that if I don't tell my story, get in the fight, then the enemy's going to win. and I was not going to give it to the enemy. And many people who know me, and I'll share in this broadcast, like I shared in many others, I am a poster board of women. So I have walked those steps into a clinic, and I have walked out, and I have been in that place of pain. But God has delivered me from that pain, and now I'm forgiven and set free.
Do you ever stop and say to yourself, boy, I wish there had been a 40 days for life when I was making that other decision?
Oh, without question. Without question. I would have been reachable. I believe that. My abortions were back in the 80s when ultrasound wasn't around. I processed it as a condition. But I honestly, Monty, I don't recall anybody outside the clinics when I walked in. And I'm not going to say that they weren't there, but I'm telling you, as a woman walking in for an abortion, you have to really get into that cycle of what's going on. You have to read it well and be well trained, because it's challenging. You can't talk baby. It's them. They're worried about themselves and their safety and what's going to happen to them. And that's why you need to be trained up appropriately.
So if people want to get involved with 40 Days for Life, before we take a time out, I'd like to touch on this. They can go on a website, right?
Absolutely.
And what happens?
Go on the 40daysforlife.com website, put in your location. It'll bring up the visual. You can register. I encourage you to register on the site, so then you'll get a thread of emails and ongoing information. If you're coming out to the vigil, you can sign up. You don't have to. We have a lot of day captains that are out here to greet you in our location, but we just want you to come out and pray. And people are out here year-round. We happen to have the vigil twice a year, but people are out here all year long praying. So this is just a get-started type of event to get started.
Fall and spring.
Yes.
Okay. They don't want to sign up, but they could still come out.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Want to talk about some other things related to 40 Days for Life and what's happening with Catherine Walker with 40 Days for Life Aurora after this.
Who's your authority? This is Ken Ham inviting you to try a 7-day free trial of our new streaming service, Answers.tv. Answers in Genesis takes a strong stand on the age of the earth, a literal creation, and a global flood. But are those really our main things? Well, as I've always said, no, they're not. You see, our focus has always been biblical authority. We emphasize that the Bible's the authority in all areas from the very first verse. When it comes to evolution and millions of years, people take ideas from outside scripture and use them to reinterpret God's clear word. That's not allowing God's word to be the authority. Instead, that shows fallible humans think they're the authority. So we take such a strong stand on Genesis because it's a consequence of biblical authority.
Discover Answers in Genesis videos, nature and science programs, conferences, adventure programs, kids content, music, and so much more at Answers.tv. Go to Answers.tv.
The Great COVID Con, an Illinois Family Institute forum. What went wrong and why? 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328.
Medicine very often is not being scientific. Turns out when we're scientific, things go well.
Join IFI, Dr. William Crevier, and Dr. Mark Zumhagen on how to keep the Great COVID Con from happening again.
Big Pharma has its own agenda. It's not giving us science, and it's not giving us the truth.
The Great COVID Con, a special Illinois Family Institute forum, 7 p.m. Friday, October 18th at Families of Faith Church, Shanahan. To RSVP, call 708-781-9328, 708-781-9328. Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here outside the big Planned Parenthood in Aurora, right across the street, the Waterleaf Women's Pro-Life Center, and I'm joined by Catherine Walker with 40 Days for Life Aurora. Catherine, unusual situation here that there's a kind of a buffer zone that provides some safety for folks who'd like to be involved in the pro-life cause.
So we are buffered, if you will, by this private property. So we are very safe out here. We are not restricted in any way. I have never felt unsafe out here.
Okay, that's good to know. This might be a good time for you to talk to your kids or maybe your grandkids about the life issue. Maybe parents, grandparents should use this 40 Days for Life cycle to have a few words with the kids.
Monty, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I have often stated this to many groups, and I believe this in my heart, that any parent, this is one of the biggest gifts a parent or a grandparent could give to their children, is to sit down age appropriate and have the conversation about abortion, what it is, what it represents, answer questions, and say, we pray it never happens to you, but if it does, please know that you can come to us and we will work this out as a family. I have had stories in front of me where that was just the opposite, where they left here after an abortion experience, not wanting to shame their parents, thinking their parents are going to throw them out of the house and never let them back in. So that is a big gift that a parent can give to a child, realizing that your child is being heavily influenced outside of the home, more so than ever before, about abortion, that it's no big deal, you just take a pill, it's not a big deal, your parents don't need to know, it goes on and on and on, but you need to be the loving parent and bring this up as a topic.
And we know they're getting pro-abortion propaganda in our taxpayer-funded government schools.
Yes, absolutely.
And we know that Planned Parenthood is fully engaged there. Tell us.
Planned Parenthood is fully engaged in educating our children at the school level and other levels about the, you know, the process of it's your choice. It's your body. It's your choice. It's health care. It's health care. One of the biggest benefits I have is in my church, and I know we talk a lot about the church community, is within our youth group, they're very prolific in expanding the numbers by inviting their friends to come to youth group. And that's where we talk about these topics as well. So once again, your churches can step up and do a whole lot more in and around your community that you're in as well.
We talked about abortion drugs, and the Biden-Harris administration has made that even more accessible. We don't want to get too political here, but if you're voting, you have to keep that in mind, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. This voting cycle is more important than anything. It's not just, you're not just voting for one person over another, one party over another. There's so many more issues that you need to become acquainted with. And I know that Illinois Family Institute has a voter guide that they produce that is readily available. I would encourage anybody listening to this to get your hands on one, get it to your church, pass it out at your church, show it to your family, friends. It's a wonderful document. It's going to help you make the right decisions, and share it.
Yep, it's nonpartisan. You could take it into a church and your church won't lose its tax-exempt status or any of that stuff. There are a couple other issues. Let's say we have a Harris presidential administration. They want to have federal pro-abortion legislation that would actually go beyond Roe versus Wade. We have to be concerned about that. And, well, what message should we be giving to our lawmakers? What would you like them to say to their lawmakers about this federal legislation that will do away with the ban on taxpayer-funded abortions, the Hyde Amendment?
The way you frame that, Monty, brings to mind that money always drives the train, it seems. You know, money, money, money. I think for some people, when you realize that you have people coming from out of state that are getting state-funded abortions here in our state that you're paying for somebody coming from some other place is kind of staggering to some people I've had a chance to share that with.
And last year, our Democratic lawmakers approved legislation that Governor Pritzker signed that would go after pregnancy care centers. Now, fortunately, a judge intervened, but we have to think that they might try to bring this back, you know, with a few modifications, whatever. We have to be on guard, don't we?
We do. It really starts at the local level. Get involved on a local level. Find out what's going on at your school board meetings. Meet other people that can navigate you into other areas of focus. And find where, you know, you're being directed, where your area falls. I know there's an inordinate amount of grandparents that are involved in a lot of grassroots organizations because they're fighting for their grandkids. And it's working. I mean, I've seen and heard of things that have happened at the school board level that are so positive. And if they weren't out there just doing the little things that they do, that wouldn't have happened. So it starts at the grassroots without question.
You know, a few weeks ago, you were part of an event here, thanks to the work of Vision 2020, that said we have to go public for life. You held this one-time event for Go Public for Life. And going public for life could also mean having that conversation with your kids or grandkids, talking to your neighbor or a relative who says, yeah, I'm pro-choice.
Exactly. Education is so critical in this. There's a lot of misinformed people out there, but there's a lot of people that don't know anything. And I know IFI has a great document that they have that they pass out that has some of the basic questions, did you know, did you know, did you know? And they're shocking questions. I have found that this is one of the biggest tools that the enemy uses is to keep people in the dark. And people just do not know what's going on. So it's up to us to keep ourselves informed properly with the right details and to make a point of bringing this up in a conversational way, not a confronting way, and talk to people, common sense, and just share the facts and see what God does with that. And pray ahead of time that God softens their hearts to hear the material.
Before we wrap things up here, Catherine, I'd like to kind of backtrack, because when we talk about protecting pro-life resource centers for women, Kamala Harris went after them. So we could expect that to happen if she's elected president. We have to really gauge how we vote.
Voting is critical. I don't know the numbers, Monty. There's a huge number of people that aren't registered to vote, or they're registered and they don't vote. I want to encourage all of them to step up to this election and do what they need to do, and that's to register and vote. And as we stated earlier, your vote does count. It does count a lot. And back to the pregnancy resource centers, they are in some cases hanging on and hoping and praying that things are not going to shift, that they're not going to be restricted in some ways that will unfortunately put them at a disadvantage. They do wonderful work. They're adding so much to the cause. They have so many people that are offering of their time as counselors and other people behind the scenes. It's unbelievable. The organization we're standing in front of, Waterleaf and CareNet, and there's many of them in the Chicago area. They're all doing wonderful work, and they need your help. They need your help. They need your money. They're all non-for-profit. And go on their websites, get to know them, get to know their when they have their banquets and their other events that feed into their bottom line. These are all critical things.
And we talked about 40 Days for Life being kind of a starting point, but if you're a pro-life veteran, maybe you need to get involved with 40 Days for Life too, because it's prayer, and boy, maybe your efforts will be backed by the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's with us all the time, and I'll tell you that I started to do a running the vigil out here about 9-10 years ago with a wonderful woman, Ricky Gersh, and we partnered and did it. Leaders build leaders. We need more leaders. We need more people who are going to step up and join our teams and be part of what is to happen in the next year or two or years to come. So we need some influx of young blood and new leaders in every vigil that's out there.
Well, thank you. Catherine Walker with 40 Days for Life Aurora. Let's remind folks how they can get involved, get more information about 40 Days for Life.
Once again, go to your homepage, 40daysforlife.org, and then go to the vigil location that is closest to you or where you like to participate. Sign up on the site so you get ongoing emails and texts, and come out. And come out and pray. Bring a friend. Bring a coworker, bring a church friend, and see how God is going to expand your efforts and what he can do with your prayers and the prayers of others that you bring with.
All right. Well, Catherine Walker with 40 Days for Life Aurora, thank you so much. Thank you for your work, your prayers, and your commitment to the life cause. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. Do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. As Catherine mentioned, we have voter guides. If you'd like to go on illinoisfamily.org, you can order those or give us a call at 708-781-9328. Also, go to our events page for some very important upcoming events, including our Worldview Conference coming up in March. And we have a thing called the COVID Con at Families of Faith Church in Shanahan. Two doctors will kind of lay it on the line for us. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.